a little bit more quickly. Okay, we're on page Kuf Yud, Lekut Amarim, Volume 2. And the piece is called Diburei HaTzadik Ad Heichan Megiyim. The words of a tzaddik, how far-reaching can they be? Amar Rabbeinu, Rabbi Nachman said, Shehu yachol la'alos b'diburo ba'alma es ha'odom b'kol ha'shiva medurei gehenim u'lachniso l'gan Eden. Rabbi Nachman said, and those of us who were here yesterday, we were learning about how it's possible for a person to say one thing, to talk about very regular and mundane dvarim b'teilim, but the ears of the tzaddik and the perspective of the tzaddik is to hear something else. The same is true when the tzaddik speaks. The tzaddik, through his speech, sometimes can say something to a person which can be radically transformative. Sometimes the person feels it very deeply. Sometimes a couple of words from a real tzaddik can shake you to the core. Sometimes a person doesn't even realize what's being said. But Rabbi Nachman said that I'm able, through my speech, to transform people, to take people out of the seven chambers of Gehenna and to bring them to Gan Eden. With my Diburo Ba'alma, with my speech, general speech, I have the ability, Rabbi Nachman says, I can say things in such a way that can literally pluck a person out of Gehenna. Kochos adirim usugulos niflos tamunim b'chol dibur v'sicha. There are tremendous adir. Adir means very strong. There's great strength and wondrous powers that are tamun, that are contained within the words, the conversations that a tzaddik emits from his mouth. And just being able to overhear a conversation of a tzaddik has a great toeles, has a great value. And every person can come to different types of spiritual correction and salvation through the unique words that are spoken by tzaddikim. Rabbi Nassan writes, Moreno Rav Nassan, Zuchusi again Aleinu, Hiflig Rabos Begodo Malis Dibure Rabbeinuza. Rabbi Nassan, the Talmud of Rabbi Nachman, would speak at length about the wondrous powers of Rabbeinu's speech, about Rabbi Nachman's speech. How again, sometimes an encounter with Rabbi Nachman could be a relatively short encounter of few words, but it could be transformative. Ukamo shemarach b'sichasa, as he writes in numerous places, al achas mitoros me'atoros b'lekutei Moran, in reference to one of Rabbi Nachman's teaching in Lekutei Moran, Simen Chavtes, Shekol echad mishomei toraso hakadosha matza behem es hashayich lo. I hear this all the time when guys are commenting after like Rav Weinberger comes to visit. There's invariably like a whole handful of guys who come over to me after the shiur and say like Rav Weinberger was talking exactly to me. You'll probably have that experience today when Rabbi Aaron comes to speak to us. Right? How is it possible that the tzaddik is saying one thing and people are hearing many things? Everyone's hearing their own personal message. How does that work? How is it possible? Were all those people struggling or thinking about the exact same thing? The answer is usually not. So how is it that, you know, achas dibra elokim shtayim zu shamati? How is it possible that the tzaddik speaks words and it's you know, as it emerges from the tzaddik, it's able to speak and guide and direct so many people, each in their own way? But Rabbi Nassan said that was the mitzias about Rabbi Nachman. That when Rabbi Nachman would speak, everyone in the room heard what was shayach to him. People heard the message that they needed to hear. It's something about the contact and the way that a tzaddik amiti speaks, that it brings answers to each individual according to his or her needs. Let's turn the page, because the next paragraph he describes how there was an individual who had a particular wound. And Rabbi Nachman gave over a Torah, and the guy was, all of a sudden, he was healed, and the guy wasn't even present at the time that the Torah was taught. But Rabbi Nachman was speaking about the Kohen's ability to deal with someone's saras, and this fellow who had this strange disease or wound or rash, whatever it was, all of a sudden the whole thing cleared up. And again, these are just a few short examples of the countless examples of Rabbi Nachman having the ability to do such a thing. Okay? I'm going to skip a couple lines just to keep us moving because I want to work through the entire piece, God willing, today. Okay, next paragraph on page Kuf Yud Aleph, Maspik Kol Dibor Lizman Kabir. The middle paragraph on Kuf Yud Aleph. If anyone wants to open the window, you're welcome to do so, because, I mean, the words of Rina Achman are going to pull us out of all seven levels of Gehenna, like he said, but we don't have to make it unbearably hot for no reason. Okay, let's see. Some of the windows open, some of them don't. So good luck. Maybe with your superhuman strength. V'inyin zeh mevuar b'sifrei chasidus. We find this idea in Sifrei Chasidus in many places. Tzadikim writing about their encounters with other tzadikim and how transformative it was. K'moshe kosev harav hakadosh mikalisk. Like Rav Avram Kalisker writes, Odos hashpa'osim ha'atsuma shel diburim hakadoshim sheshame itzel rabo hamagid hagadol mimezrich. Rav Avram Kalisker says, let me tell you about my encounter, as he writes in different places about his interactions with the Maggid of Mezrich. Ba'achas mi'igrosav sheshigar me'eretz HaKodesh, in a letter that was sent from Eretz Yisrael, Rav Avram Kalisker tried to build the world of Chasidus in Eretz Yisrael. He took people along with him to try to settle the land. And we have a letter that's printed in the Sefer Pri Ha'aretz, where he writes, Chai Hashem, Asher amadati lefnei kvod admor zatzal, I stood before the Maggid of Mezrich. I had an encounter with the Maggid of Mezrich, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Hayamaspik li kol dibor lizman kavir. And every word he spoke lasted a really long time. It was able to carry me for a period of time, for a significant period of time. Va'od sham in Michtav Lamed Zayin, in another letter 37. Hinei ani v're'iya. I and my friend, he's referring to Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk. Ve'yoseinu Eitzel Harav HaMagid Mimezrich, when we were by the Magid of Mezrich, Hainu Mistapkin B'dibur Echad Zman Rav. One idea was able to carry us for so long. One thing that he said carried us for so long. Ki Imlo Banu L'shmo El Dibur Echad Zed Dayenu. Had I only met the Magid of Mezrich that one time and heard this one teaching for him, Dayenu, it was enough to change my life forever. Unbelievable. V'hainu shomrim oso b'kedusha v'tara ad eis bo dibor shenis. And even if there was a long period of time between one encounter and the next, we were able to hold on to his precious words and to guard them with sanctity and holiness until we would have that second encounter. We live in a world where we're always like, you know, looking for the next high, spiritual high I'm talking about. Yeah. Like after hearing a great shiur, so like, okay, like I need that next year, like soon after, just to keep me going. Right? But people who are listening deeply and tzaddikim who are sharing deeply, they give you an idea. It's the way the Torah describes our breaks in between the parshios. They give a person time to meditate, to absorb the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not just to run on, you know, to click on the next Moshe Rabbeinu meaningful minute, you know, to get me through the day. But to be able to say, oh, let me think about that idea. The Bali Musar would say over and over, they take one line of a Chazal and review it hundreds of times. They take half a line from Pirkei Avos and just say it over and over to drill it into their head, to try to absorb it in a deep way. Instead of just, you know, oh, I've heard this idea before. I heard this story. I heard this Vart. Oh, I read that Pasuk once before. Oh, I know that Maimer Chazal. Think about it deeply. Hear it in a new way. Again, when you're in the presence of real Gedolim, if you've had the opportunity to meet Tzadikim and Gedolim, you see it all the time. I've had this experience many times with different people. People who are saying something that you've heard before, but the way they're saying it, somehow you're hearing something different. Happens all the time when I hear of Weinberg, when I hear of Schechter, it happens all the time. You hear new things, you come up with your own chidushim. The tzaddik's like feeding you different ideas. Right? Even if it doesn't sound like he's saying anything different, but there's a certain way that he says it. There's a certain intonation, there's a certain sincerity, there's a certain depth. That it makes a deep rosham upon a person. It leaves a mark upon a person. Kach hayu atzadikim, bottom paragraph. Kach hayu atzadikim misyachsim lidibur echad v'yachid shiyotzam yipi rabosei mitzukei aretz. This is how great tzadikim themselves felt and wrote about their encounters with their rabbeim. Shahaya lehem mekor l'chol chiyusam v'hanagasam b'zeh olam. That they felt that a few words from the rabbeim was enough to carry them a lifetime. Mamish to carry them a lifetime. Rabbi Michael Olshin, Shlita, from Torah Shraga, gave me this new sefer from the brother of the Tolner Rebbe. He prints a sefer, prints a beautiful little sefer every year. He's malakit from all over the place. Quotes Rav Shechter in here. It's so interesting. Quotes Rav Bina. He's got all sorts of interesting things. He quotes well-known svarim, rare svarim, stories, vartlach, all sorts of things. So he describes, he tells the story of how the Sfas Emes came to the Rebbe of Alexander and took him on as his Rebbe. And Imamish relates to this Inyan. Let's see if I can find it. I wasn't planning on saying it, but I just remembered. Where is it? He came to Rav Hanoch of Alexander, and the first thing the Rebbe says to him, where it was on the page. It's earlier than this. Where is it? You know what I can do? Use the index. Good. It gives you time to think. Page Chaf Gimel, that must be where it is. No? Ayin Tes. Kuf Samach. Also no. 0 for 3. Really? Is that far in the safer? Rish Gimel? No? Where is it? Did I make it up?
Can I give the part of the share while I didn't find it?
Yeah, sure.
Part of the share is that Rebbe must have gotten that safer last week. Oh, isn't that so? He's not looking at the last page. He's done the entire thing.
I did. I read the whole thing on the plan. It's a very short safer.
It's a very interesting hour.
It's you could also drink it in 3 seconds. It's that good. No. Anyway, so we came to the Rebbe of Alexander. And the Rebbe of Alexander said to him something about... really bothering me. Where is it?
It's not one of those 4-page
pages.
That's
small. Yeah. I don't understand where it went. It's not meant to be. Anyways, basically, the first thing that the Rebbe of Alexander said to him, he said one line to him, said one word to the Sfas Emes. It was the last thing that he had heard from the Chiddush HaYarim. Like, the last topic that the Chiddush HaYarim had spoken to the Sfas Emes about was the very first thing that the Rebbe of Alexander said to the Sfas Emes in one line. Like, he didn't even, like, explain it. He just, like, quoted a Maimar Chazal and said nothing about it. But just hearing that somehow this tzaddik knew to pick up exactly where the previous Rebbe had left off. It was understood to him that this was the person who was meant to be his Rebbe. But it was literally one line. All he needed to hear was one line from him to clarify for him that this Vadai was the person I'm supposed to be Mavata myself to. I don't know where he went. I don't understand. Okay. But you get the point. You get the point. Sometimes one line from a tzaddik is all you need to know that this is my tzaddik, this is my Rebbe. And there are a lot of stories like that. People who are transformed in a single expression. Okay, sorry. I don't mean to waste your time. Okay, good. Fine. So look how the tzaddikim spoke about the Rebbeim. Look how the Rebbe was able to give them a source of life with just, again, one sentence. Kamuva mei abal shem tov. She Rebbe hu milashon rivya. This is actually a very nice idea. That Rebbe is a lashon of rivya, like pururvu. What does that mean? A Rebbe is like a lashon of pururvu, to be fruitful. What does that mean? To multiply. Shatorah v'achachma dikedusha heim etzlo kamayim chayim noivim uparim v'ravim. It's like our Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, sometimes you don't understand your Rebbe's words for 40 years. Maybe part of what do you mean? But I understood what the Rebbe said right now. Yeah, but if the Rebbe was really saying something emistic, over the next 40 years, with each passing day, you'll have a deeper, that's what Rebbe really meant. And you'll have a deeper and deeper understanding of it as time goes on. So even though it was one teaching that you heard long ago, it's still multiplying. A real Rebbe has the ability to say things that are constantly multiplying, that are constantly bearing fruits. Parim v'ravim. L'chein dibur shel Torah v'yir ha-shamayim sh'mashmiya el kol echad mitalmidav nasa bo gamkein ruach chachma u'neshama mamish. To the point that, again, that the words that are spoken by a tzaddik, that are received by the Talmud, it changes the Talmud's spirit. It gives him new understandings of reality. It recreates his soul. And that's something that he can guide him, and he can walk in that derech, so to speak, his whole life. Like the pasuk says in Iyov Perak Lamed Beis, that through the spirit of Hashem, right, there's new understanding. Bina is the ability to be maven davar mitoch davar, to extract one thing from the next thing. So to be able to hear an idea and to continue to nurture that idea and to build on that idea forever and ever. Okay? Let's turn the page. Kuf Yud Beis. I messed up the last story. I'll pay you back with a good story now. Muva me'arav ha'kadosh of Pinchas mikartz. The Pinchas Kartzer, who met the Baal Shem Tov, I think they say, on three occasions. One of the early tzaddikim. And I think he only met the Baal Shem Tov three times. Shalom, Rav Pinchas Kartzer said, Shun lo nahag lomar tochacha lemisha ba'ilav. He would not rebuke a person who came to him. Right? A person came to Minchas Karetzer and was explaining a difficult, situation they're going through. He wouldn't offer words of rebuke. Ba'amro, the following logic, he would say to himself, Kirei etzem bi aso elav humishum shema'eklo alibo. Why did this guy come to me to begin with? Why did he come to the tzaddik? Because he feels the pains of his heart. There's something weighing upon him. So now what? So now I'm going to try to explain to him why Hashem is punishing him. Right? So why should I pour salt on his wounds? He's already broken. That's why he came to me. Right? So you think, like, sometimes, the Talmud comes and is all upset about something. The Rebbe starts, like, ripping into him. That's not what he needs. He needs someone to carry him, to lift him up. Elohu omer lo divrei chachma. Rav Pinchas Karetzer says, instead of rebuking the person who's already down, I try to get a word of wisdom to carry something that can last a long time. Not just a pot, not a word of rebuke, but an insight that is deep and meaningful and long-lasting. Ulefamim gam melubash b'milsa d'bedichusa. And sometimes it has to be enveloped in milsa d'bedichusa, in a silly matter, in a laughing matter, right? In something funny. I share the idea through a funny story or through a joke or through a riddle as a way to make it stick. It's true. Sometimes something funny that you once, experienced or heard or saw. I said to my brother last night, he told me something very funny the other week. I said, Josh, 2 weeks ago, Shabbos Mincha time during Shmon Esrei, I started laughing and it's your fault. Because of that funny line that you told me. I don't know how it popped back in my head, but it did, right? It had a long-lasting effect. So the Rav Pinchas Karetzer says, sometimes, you share an idea, and if it comes from a tzaddik, it comes from a deep place, even if the tzaddik envelops it in a milsa de b'dichusa, it makes a roshim on a person. U'mitoch ze ahaya hala moti la'atzmo derech, eich letzeis mimitzuka so, ulishtachrer meha mitzuda shenilkad lesoicha meha bal davar uleskarev l'Hashem Yisbach. And then the person can use that idea that story, that riddle, that joke, that word of wisdom. He can use it to what? To free himself from the trap that has been laid by the Baal Davar. The Baal Davar means the Yetzer Hara. Uleskar v'Lashem Yisparach. I can help him get out of his feeling of loneliness. I can help him set himself free from whatever's holding him back by giving him a word of wisdom instead of giving him another word of rebuke. So I'll tell you a great little story I shared this past Shabbos. Rav Mordechai of Chernobyl, or Matul Chernobyler. So after his father had passed away, or after Rav Nachum of Chernobyl had passed away, the Mor Naim, so Rav Matul of Chernobyl was a leader of many Hasidim. And at one point he became deathly ill. And he was lying in a coma for 4 days. And eventually he came back and they asked him, they said, what was it like when you were out? So he says, I'll tell you what happened. He said, I saw my neshama ascending to the next world. I didn't think I was going to survive. I was under the impression that my neshama is leaving my body forever, that I'm not coming back. But I very badly felt I have a need. I have a responsibility to my chassidim. I need to come back. I need to awake. I need to, you know, wake up from my coma. And I need to return to this world. But as my neshama was ascending higher and higher in the realms beyond this world, I felt like there's no chance for me. So I called out to my father, who had passed away. Right? I called out to my father that he should come and save me. He should petition on my behalf to give me life, to send me back. So I screamed out to my father. And my father's neshama was brought down from even higher realms, brought down to meet me along the way. And I said, Tati, I need your help. So he said, who are you? I mean, who am I? I'm your son. What do you mean? I mean, who am I? It's me, your son. It's Rav Matul. So he says, I hear what you're saying, but I don't recognize you. You're my son? You sure you're my son? So he says, what are you talking about? Of course I'm your son. He said, I'm sorry. I believe you, but I don't. You look strange to me. I don't recognize you. Is it possible you did something that you've become unrecognizable to me? Maybe that's why you became sick. Maybe something. So he said, I don't know. What did I do? He starts thinking, making a cheshbon and nefesh. What did I do? He says, tell me some of the things you've done over the past couple of days. Like, tell me some of your encounters. So he starts telling him, this happened and that happened. He tells him one story. He says, there was this fellow who came to me, a big gevir in town, who unfortunately his business got totally overturned. He lost all his money. Mamish, he went from, riches back to rags. Mamish lost everything. Broken person, he comes to me and he says, Rabbi, I need your help. You know, maybe you can help me get some money to get back on my feet. So Rabbi said, I had a little bit of money. I gave him a little bit of money. I didn't have much money to give him. But I said to him, you should just know. I figured I'll give him a good word to be machazik him. I said to him, you should just know, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, as asher ye'ahav Hashem yochiach. The one who Hashem loves, he rebukes. So you should know that even though you're going through a really tough time, you should know Hashem loves you. And the fact that Hashem is making your life so miserable must mean that Hashem really loves you. So Rav Matul Chernobyl's father says, so now I know. Now I know why Hashem is angry at you. Right? Well, what do you mean? What did I do wrong? Just quoted in the Pasuk. Hashem rebukes the one who he loves. So I figured, let him at least know the MS. So he said to him, he doesn't need your rebuke. He said, first of all, that's not how we read the Pasuk. In the Olam HaMS, that's not how you read the Pasuk. How do you read the Pasuk? Tati, teach me. You're my father. Teach me how to read the Pasuk. He says, here's the real way to read the Pasuk. As asher yahav, if someone who you love comes to you and needs your help, right? Don't tell them, Hashem loves you so much, that's why Hashem is rebuking you. As asher yahav, the one who you love, Hashem yochiach, rebuke Hashem. If you see someone suffering, So taina against Hashem on their behalf. Right? Tell them, Hashem, this isn't fair. Why is this guy losing all his money? Like Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bepem male takarish baruchu," and say for Shemos, Hashem, why do you make your people suffer? It's chutzpah. That's what you're supposed to do, though. If you love the person, fight for them. Don't give him musa. He needs your musa. That's why he came to you. That you should say, really, Hashem loves you so much. That's why your whole business fell apart. He doesn't need to hear that. Avram Avinu is fighting for Sodom, about Yerushalayim. Right, but that's the way of the tzaddikim. They try to petition for people. Hashem yochiach, give Hashem the musar. Say, Rabbanu Shalom, this isn't good. Achil Hashem, this guy lost all his money. Now it looks terrible. It's not good for you, Hashem. Right. So that's what Pinchas Karatz was saying also. When someone comes to you for because they're down on their luck, they don't need your musar. The tzaddik has a way of packaging for him, right? And again, it could be in a small little divrei chachma, a little word of chachma, a dibur of chachma. He's able to package up a nice little word of wisdom that can carry this person for so long. Mamish for so long. He doesn't need your mussar. Give him a way out. Give him a way to help himself. Va'ayin b'sefer amidos. So we find in Breslov Svarim, al yidei dibur kal shel tzaddik niftach or gadol. That sometimes a simple word, a light, an easy, a pashut, a word of a tzaddik, is niftach or gadol, opens up a great light. Sometimes the tzaddik could just sit here and read the Bereshis Bara Elokim, and you're like, wow, that's unbelievable. I never heard it like that before. It's a story that after the Baal HaTanya passed away, and someone was reading the Tochacha, and his son fainted, because he said, I never heard the Tochacha like that before. My father had the Tochacha, it was all brachos. The way the Baal HaTanya read the most horrific psukim in Torah, all his son could hear was brachos. He heard the good and all the most painful psukim of the rebuke in the Torah. But when his father passed away and the next Baal Kori read the words, he said, whoa, I never heard those words before. It's different words. The tzaddik injects a certain chiyus into the words. So says the Sefer Amidos, a tzaddik can open up great lights sometimes by saying simple things. With this we can understand what we find in the Medrash. Divrei chachamim v'chidosam amr Rabbi Meir shekula sichas chulin shel talmidei chachamim keneged kol haTorah kula. Wow. The sichas chulin of a talmid chacham is sometimes as expansive as kol haTorah kula. You hear at tzaddik, someone told me they were in Uman this past year, and they saw Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger at one point. He was sitting with a bunch of chassidim, and they said he was literally going back and forth from like cracking jokes with the chassidim to looking like he was physically not in this world. I mean, like just gone, you know, like closing his eyes and like blast off to other realms. He was going back and forth. He said it was one of the craziest things he ever saw in his life. To see a tzaddik was able to be so present with his chassidim and then also to be so much in a state of dveikus with Hashem. He said he never saw anything like that in his life. So the sichas chulin of a talmid chacham, the talmid chacham, what to everyone else is just, you know, a good time. For the talmid chacham, it's mamash the deep. He's saying the deepest things in the world. And sometimes only afterwards a person realizes that which seemed like, you know, a mundane conversation, that encounter with the tzaddik, it could be a silly thing, can carry you for years. Can draw on that experience, the time that I met so and so, you know, time that I saw this tzaddik. Sometimes you don't even have to see. Sometimes you don't even have to. You don't have to hear anything from the tzaddik. Chavetz Chaim was traveling one time. He was on a train with Rav Meir Dan Plotsky, the Kli Chemda, one of the great Talmidim of Avnei Nezer. And they were traveling from different places, from location to location. And the Kli Chemda said to the Chavetz Chaim, you should sit by the window, so Jews can catch a glimpse of you. Let people see you and be inspired by you. So he says, Chavetz Chaim says, what do you mean? They make me into a Baal Gaiva. I don't need kavod. But people standing there looking, wow, I want to catch a glimpse of the Chavetz Chaim. He says, don't you know that kavod, a person who takes kavod that doesn't belong to him? Chavetz Chaim in his humility said, a person who takes kavod that doesn't belong to him is going to burn in hell for such a thing. So the Kli Chemda said, I can give you two reasons why I still think Rebbe should go to the window. The first reason is, it's kedai for a person to be willing to go to hell, even if it means, you know, suffering a punishment in Gehenna. It's kedai to go through that in order to make another Jew have a good experience. And the second reason, the Chavetz Chaim said, I don't need a second reason, it's fine, you're right. I'll go sit by the window so Jews can look at me, even if I take kavod that's not mine. But if it's mechazik, another yid, then it's kedai. Catch a glimpse of the Chavetz Chaim was all people needed. There were people who literally, I once read a story about a yid who survived the Holocaust. He said, I literally survived because one time I saw the Chavetz Chaim. And that carried me. Whenever I felt like it was all over, I would just close my eyes and picture the Chavetz Chaim, and that was enough to desire to live. Having known that I was one zeichah to see the Chavetz Chaim. It's unbelievable. No? Let's learn an amazing Gemara and an amazing explanation of a Gemara in Meseches Gittin. Okay, have a look at this. The bottom paragraph on page Kuf Yud Beis. This is Gavaldik. Aval pi kola amar begodol otzem kawach diburei tzaddik. So now based on this concept that a tzaddik can sometimes say something. And that's why it's so important to you know, sometimes people have an opportunity to go and meet a tzaddik. And then, you know, is it worth it to travel all this way to meet a tzaddik? You know, how much time am I going to have with him? You travel all this way to get a dollar from the Lubavitch Rebbe. You shuffle past him for 5 seconds. There are people who shuffled past the Lubavitch Rebbe for 5 seconds and it changed their life. You know, so it's worth it. It's worth it to make the effort to be by tzaddikim, to hear a word from a tzaddik, to get a buha from, you know, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, bracha v'atzlacha. You know, that could change your life. That's a real thing. That's mamash a real thing. Someone told me a story in Eretz Yisrael. There, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. There was someone who came to him, a fellow. I think he was from England. He came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and this fellow and his wife, for 14 years they were married, they didn't have children. So he came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he got a bracha. And he said afterwards he ended up being blessed. Over the next couple of years he had 3 children. After 14 years without children. So the fellow wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, I think he lived in England. So he came back to Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to, you know, have the opportunity to go to Rav Chaim, to thank Rav Chaim. So he contacted this Rav, went in to go to Rav Chaim to thank Rav Chaim. So he goes back to Rav Chaim and he says, you know, Rebbe, I want to thank you. Your bracha was mukuyam. I was blessed with children. Right? Such an unbelievable thing. Mamash, nisim v'nefilos, 14 years, doctor said, we'll never have kids. I come to you, give me a bracha. And all of a sudden, we're blessed. And Baruch Hashem, now we have multiple children. So Rav Chaim says, what are you coming here to thank me for? He says, it's a mafurish gemara. It's a gemara mafurashas. It's an open gemara. It's a chiddush. Came to me. So he says, Rebbe, what Gemara? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says to him, in his humility, he says, the Gemara says that a birchas hedyot shouldn't be kal in your eyes. That even if a regular person gives you a bracha, you should take it seriously. Because sometimes even a regular person's bracha comes true, says the Gadol Hador. So this Rav, who was with this guy who had gone to say thank you to Rav Chaim, he says, no, Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, it's not true. He says, the Medrash says that tzaddikim are like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Lashon of the Medrash is just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is poked akarim, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the barren, so too tzaddikim have the ability to help barren women have children. So he says, you see from the Medrash that only a tzaddik can help a person who doesn't have children have children. So Chaim is like, nah, birchas hedya. Wouldn't even take a compliment, no? A word of blessing from a Gadol Hador could overturn 14 years of being childless. So let's look at this Gemara. So now that we understand the power of the words of a tzaddik, Yesh lomar hezber nifla ulevar asamuva etzel Reish Lakish. Let's learn a Gemara about Reish Lakish. The Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Zayin says, Dichinach nafshe, when Reish Lakish passed away, Shavak kaba demorika. When Reish Lakish left this world, Shavak, he left behind kava is a measure of morika. He left behind a little bit of food. That's all he had. When he passed away, he still had a little bit of food in his cabinet. And Reish Lakish said at that moment when he died, with a little bit of food still left in the cupboard, kare anafshe, 2 lines from the bottom, he said on himself, va'ozvu la'cheirim chelam. He quoted the pasuk, it's the pasuk in Tehillim Mem Tes. He lamented the fact that ozvu la'cheirim chelam, that they leave their strength or their spoils, right? They leave the Yerusha for others. Reish Lakish was lamenting the fact that there were still 3 cookies in the cupboard that I could have eaten when I was alive. Chaval that I died with 3 cookies still, you know? Chaval that I died with, a carrot stick left in the fridge. Chaval. I leave my, you know, my strength for others. Chaval. What? Lamenting the fact that he didn't eat those last few potato chips that were at the bottom of the bag? That he has to leave them as a Yerusha for his family? The strangest Gemara. Umay mezet tzarech iyun rav. This Gemara requires great clarification. V'chi eiza shevach yesh bezel echad migadolei amoram. Turn the page. Top of Kuf Yud Gimel. What is the praise of one of the great amoram, Reish Lakish, al shehikpid al kach lo lahashir klum? That he was makbid. I left behind a little bit of food I could have eaten in this world. Chaval. I mean, so your kids will eat it. I don't know. You give it to some poor guy in the neighborhood. Someone will. What are you? You're groaning over the fact that you left something behind. Chaval. Could have enjoyed, you know. I left a slice of pizza still in the freezer. Chaval. Could have eaten it before I died. That's strange Gemara. So explains Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter. We'll do this one last big paragraph. Va'inyin yizbar heitev be'ezras Hashem yizbarach. Al pi ha'amar migodel koach dibur echad shal tzadik. What we've been learning today is that when a tzadik says something to you, it can become your mission statement for life. Who is Reish Lakish's Rebbe? Who got him started? Reish Lakish, who in his previous life was a bandit, was a highway robber. Until he met Rav Yochanan, of course, right? The Gemara in Bava Metzia. Dikasherah Rabbi Yochanan eskvu rasul shavesh lakish beishaya rosh halistim. When Rabbi Yochanan was scouting, you know, people he could be makarev, and he saw Reish Lakish, the head of the bandits, a person of unbelievable creativity and strength, and he was using all of that energy in a negative way. Eich shekafatz v'chula, as the Gemara says, he was able to jump from one side of the river to the other side of the river, unbelievable physical strength. He was unbelievably powerful. He was a charismatic leader of robbers. Amr lo, Rabbi Yochanan said to him two famous words. Chelcha lo'oraisa. Use your strength for Torah. All of the strength that you're using to take advantage of people, you could channel that strength towards Torah. And of course, the end of that deal that Rabbi Yochanan offered Reish Lakish is I'll make a shidduch with my sister, who is very beautiful. So I'll get you a good shidduch. You'll be a great person in the Beis Medrash. Use your strength for Torah. V'hainu, it's Gemara Bav Metzia Pei Dalet. V'hainu, shekesher Rabbi Yochanan ra eskivu raso atzuma shav Reish Lakish. When he saw the awesome strength of Reish Lakish, lo ra'a rak eskivu raso agashmis. He understood that if he has such physical strength, he was able to see not only does he have physical strength, ele be'en of hakadoshos, chazagam is kol pnimiyuso. Rabbi Yochanan saw the inner strength. With his holy eyes, Rabbi Yochanan could see the pnimius of Reish Lakish. Vez godel otzem gvuraso hanafshis hatmuna amuk amuk besocho. The awesome spiritual strength that was buried deep inside of him. He recognized this person, if he just channels his energy properly, he could be awesome in Torah. Shai gibor v'anak ruach, a person of great spirit. Again, he was a great leader of robbers. Va'az panar Rabbi Yochanan va'amr lo dibor echad katzar. And Rabbi Yochanan turned into Reish Lakish, and in two words, he changed his whole life. Chel chol oraisa. That's all he had to say to him. He said it in such a way, with a penetrating gaze, Chel chol oraisa, that it cut right through Reish Lakish, and he turned his whole life around. Chel chol oraisa. Use your strength for Torah. That's all he had to say to him. And in mamish, it hit him in the deepest place. Klomar shes kol kochosecha v'gvuros nafshecha takdish ach v'rak l'oraisa. Use all of your strength for Torah. You can do it. The tzaddik said it, and he believed it when he heard it from the tzaddik. V'reish lakish shama heitev esadibor shenemar mimarad da'aradi Yisrael. So when he heard the gadol ador of Eretz Yisrael at that time, Rabbi Yochanan say such a thing to him. Shelo yitin es kocho v'chelo la'acherim. Don't waste your energy, don't waste your strength, don't waste your potential on anything other than Torah. L'sitra achra v'taivos v'ashod v'achamas. Right? Don't waste it on the other side, so to speak. Don't waste it on the pleasures of this world. Don't waste it on robbing and stealing, etc. Kim yasim es kolchelo ba'oraisa. Rather, use your strength entirely for Torah. And you can do it. Skip the parentheses. U'kishashama Reish Lakish. Hadibur hazesh ochel chel oraisa. So when Reish Lakish heard those two awesome words, your strength can be totally dedicated to Torah. Chadar hadavar amuk l'toch libo v'nafsho. It penetrated the depths of his being. V'zeh asher hejrichu me'oz v'ad sof yamav. And those two words carried him his entire life. Mamish his entire life. He was carried by those words. I skipped a line on the previous page. It says one of the Talmidim of the Baal HaTanya once heard a teaching from the Baal HaTanya, and for 8 years he was able to give shiurim based on that one line that he heard from the Baal HaTanya. What he heard from the Baal HaTanya, he turned into 8 years of shiurim. That's how much was packed into one line from the Baal HaTanya. So imagine when you hear from a Reb Yochanan, two words, carries you your whole life. Chel Cholo Reis, that's all he needed. His whole life, Reish Lakish was guided by that mission statement, and he mamish lived it. He took his strength, and he turned it into Torah. Haynu shugamar belibo lisyageya bavodas Hashem uvetorasu akadosha b'chol kocho v'chelo. To use every bit of his energy, as Rabbi Yochanan told him, Chel Cholo Reisa, ad shemikol asher lo, to the point that everything he had, he saw as what? As a way of serving Hashem. Migufo, nafsho, meodo, his body, his spirit, his possessions, mikol hono, anything that he owned, he wanted to use it for Torah. And therefore, when Reish Lakish is on his bed, and he says, there's still a little food left in the fridge, and he was upset, chava, I could have used that also to energize myself, to learn a little bit more Torah. Chava, that I wasn't able to take that, you know, that leftover chulent from Shabbos, right, and eat it and energize my body one last time to serve my Creator. Chel Chol HaRais, a little bit of my possessions I wasn't able to finish the job. That's how kol kulo, how he permeated that every bit of his being. He wanted to be able to use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, turn to the last page for today. Kuf Yudal, we'll just do the last paragraph. Just one more line from Reish Lakish to help us appreciate this. Val Pisa Heyer Li Yedidi Harav Hagon Rav Yaakov Fish Shlita. I don't know what that is, but it says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, I heard from one of my contemporaries, Rav Yaakov Fish, he told me based on this idea that Reish Lakish's whole life was about how can I use my body, how can I use my spirit, how can I use my possessions to serve Hashem, to the point that he was upset. There was a little bit of Olam Hazeh I didn't lift up as high as I could have. It's unbelievable. So Rav Yaakov Fish said to me, based on this, maybe we can understand one other line in Gemara. The Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Heyam and Aleph. The Gemara says that one time, Rami Reish Lakish al Ma'oi Bei Midrasha Umakshe. Reish Lakish was al Ma'oi. He was lying on his stomach in the Beis Medrash when he asked the following question. Right? Why does the Gemara tell us that Reish Lakish was resting on his stomach when he asked this particular question? Strange Gemara, Zvachim Daf Heyam and Aleph. But explained to Rav Yaakov Fish, based on this Yisod, that having heard from his Rebbe two words that changed his life, he wanted to use every bit of his strength for Torah. Merumas b'zeh, shegam be'es, shenach be'es ha-medrash, hayim mepalpil b'torah b'koch achilaso shevameyav. That even when, so to speak, he was resting for a few minutes, lying on his stomach, right? He was thinking about the food inside of his stomach and how he could use it, that even as he's lying there, as he's resting, you know, as the food is being digested within him, he was drawing on that strength, aware of the digestive process in his stomach, and trying to use those nutrients and that strength to be able, as he's maybe taking a nap in the base or whatever he was doing, lying on his side, taking a nap. As he's falling asleep, he's rummy and he's maksha, he's contrasting and he's questioning, he's asking questions as he's falling asleep, because you know what? My stomach has a little bit more energy. Ukanizkra le'el. Every bit of food that he put into his body, he wanted to turn it into avodas Hashem. It was never about simchas kreso, to paraphrase the words of the Rambam. It was never about his stomach's enjoyment. It was, how can I use this food to energize myself to serve Hashem? Laman kvod shemo yisbarach ula isek haTorah kedosha. And to use every bit of my strength for Torah. So chaver, what's the lesson that we learned today? We have to learn to be good listeners. I can tell you, it's not by chance we learned this piece today. Having this chus in about an hour from now to hear Rabbi David Aaron, I can tell you there are many people around the world who will tell you about Rabbi Aaron, that he's the type of person who you can hear one shir from him and it totally, totally changes your hashkafas achaim forever. I can say that about myself. Certain explanations that I've heard from Rabbi Aaron of Mamari Chazal literally changed my whole hashkafa sachayim. Literally, I'm not speaking, you know, b'derech guzma. I'm not exaggerating. He's the type of person who has such fresh perspectives on life and on an understanding of our relationship with Hashem. It can literally change your life. So, Mirtz Hashem, an hour from now, when we have this chus to hear him, we'll hear him the next 3 days from 11 to 11:45. We should try to be really good listeners. and try to hear what he has to share. He talks Torah in a way that's different than most people you've probably heard. If you've never heard him speak, you're in for a big treat. Okay? So let's make sure that we're listening to the words of tzaddikim and people who have deep Torah to teach us. Let's try to hear it in a deep way as well. Okay? Okay, we'll go to the